Because the topic of the times of restitution would easily take more than an hour, we will not cover it in great detail to allow a little time to consider some of the evidences and current events that prove we are in the times of restitution as set forth by God's definition given in the Scripture. Also, this is a brand new lesson on my part, so it may be a little rough around the edges, but we hope it will provide a blessing by the Lord's Spirit. The key text for this hour is one we should all be very familiar with. Acts chapter 3, verses 19 to 21. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. The setting for this text was the miracle of Apostle Peter healing the lame man by the power of Jesus Christ. Crowds gathered, and the Apostle Peter reminded them of the national sin upon them for what had been done to Jesus. Guilty of a national sin, repentance and conversions would be necessary, that in due time, during the times of the restitution of all things, God's favor would be turned back to them. God will send Jesus Christ to accomplish a full reconciliation to God. Do we think the times of restitution is an important topic? God says in verse 21 that all his holy prophets spoke of this topic. All the prophets. It must be a very important subject indeed. We thank Brother Wilf who went before us for this. We remember Israel. Favor was turned away from them and was prophesied to turn back. God turned his face from them, but also promised to turn his face again to them. Ezekiel chapter 39, verses 23 and 24. And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me. Therefore hid I my face from them, and gave them into the hand of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword. According to their uncleanness, and according to their transgressions have I done unto them, and hid my face from them. Verses 27 to 29. When I have brought them again from the people, and gathered them out of the enemy's lands, and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations, then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen, that I have gathered them unto their own land, and have left none of them any more there. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. We remember Jesus' words, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not? Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 12. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. The Mishnah. 1845 years of the Jewish double. But when is this time that Matthew and Luke wrote of, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord? A key to this is given in Daniel chapter 12, with the 1260, 1290, and 1335 days, which are symbolic of years. The pivotal date to begin counting these years is from A.D. 539. This is when the referred to abomination of desolation was set up and when it began to function in Rome. So when we take the 539 and add the 1335 years to get to the blessedness Daniel speaks of in his book, we get the year 1874. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. How are they blessed? Volume 3, page 84, we quote, "This is clearly indicated by the Hebrew text, which represents the matter as though the watchers, who already have seen something and are waiting patiently, would suddenly, when 1335 days have passed, get a full clear view, far beyond their expectations. Oh, the blessedness of him. Oh, the blessedness. The Lord has returned. 1874. The exaltation went out. Thy God reigneth." Daniel is told, using paraphrasing from the sixth volume, page 666, "But go thy way till the end be, till the harvest or an end of the age be come, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days." Daniel is being told he will have to wait until the gospel age is over and the church is complete. How do we know that our Lord returned as reigning king in 1874? One way is the time proofs, chronology, but especially the jubilees. We will leave the details of chronology and jubilees to study out for yourselves. You need to make the truth your own, as we all do. Please refer to Volume 2, The Time is at Hand, and Volume 3, Thy Kingdom Come, as our pastor goes through the scriptural proofs here in great detail. Bible chronology proves that 6,000 years from the creation of Adam ended in A.D. 1872. So why the discrepancy of 2 years from 1872 to 1874? It is a reasonable conclusion that Adam spent this 2 years in the garden before his transgression becoming acquainted with God's handiwork. It took time to be introduced to the animals and to name all of them and then to be introduced to his wife. All this happened before his transgression. Then the 6,000 years of permission of evil began. The Lord said he would rebuild the temple in parts of 3 days, the 4th, 5th, and 6,000-year periods of the 7th day of rest, just as he was in the grave parts of 3 days. If one questions the chronology, they have to realize that the Jubilees are corroborating linked proof that 1874 was the date of our Lord's return. The study of the Jubilee leads to two different calculations, the law and the prophecy. We note that these two calculations are independent of one another, and that is by divine arrangement that the two calculations arrive at the same date. This is a mathematical miracle that should inspire us. It is strong meat to be sought after by those mentioned in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. "The strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Please note also that the years used to calculate both methods uses the period of the kings, which was 513 years, and the period of the judges of 450 years. If these periods in the chronological links are modified in any way, the dual jubilee calculations fail. Another interesting fact is that we learn from the second volume under the Bible chronology chapter that there were 4,128 years from the creation of Adam to the beginning of the Christian era AD. Subtracting 2 years in the garden yields 4,126 years. The last jubilee was 526 B.C. Subtracting 526 from 4,126 yields 3,500 years. The last jubilee just happens
be in the exact middle of the 7,000-year day. Does your heart rejoice at this fact? I believe it is dangerous ground to alter the Bible chronology as presented by the seventh messenger. Let us turn from the proofs that October 1874 is the date of our Lord's return back to the times of restitution. It is important to keep in mind that the Lord will not be in full control until the end of the 1,000 years. The fact that it is a 1,000-year process is shown in the following text. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 25 and 26. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. We have a picture of a river of salvation in Ezekiel chapter 47. In Ezekiel 47, we have a picture of someone measuring 1,000 cubits. And each time, the depth of the river changes. First at the ankles, then at the knees, then at the loins, and then so deep one could not pass over. What better picture could be presented of the 1,000-year process of restitution? The waters of truth gradually rising. It is a beautiful process even now for those that understand what is happening. After the initial birthing pains, it will be glorious indeed for all to see. Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 9 and 12. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these rivers shall come thither. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. And by the river, upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Another text along this line is Isaiah chapter 11, verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. When shall the earth be full of the knowledge of the Lord? We answer, at the close of the millennium. Another picture of the process is shown in Daniel chapter 2. It looks like I got the verses a little wrong on the top there. 34 and 35. This is from the Leiser translation. Thou didst look on till the moment that that a stone tore itself loose, not through human hands. And it struck the image upon its feet that were of iron and clay and ground them to pieces. Then were the iron, the clay, the copper, the silver, and the gold ground up together and become like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no trace was found of them. And the stone that had stricken the image became a mighty mountain and filled the whole earth. The end of the Gentile times, the 2520 years from 606 BC, is here shown with the smiting of the image. The stone grows into a mountain that covers the whole earth. It does not happen at the snap of the fingers. It is a process. Do we see evidences that the process has begun? Daniel tells us in Daniel chapter 12, when this great Michael, the prince that standeth for God's people, will stands up to assume his authority. When this happens, certain evidences would be available to those who would be watching, or the wise ones. God tells us that the evidences would be a great increase of knowledge. To the reasoning mind, it is not difficult to discern or see how this has been fulfilled since 1874. The great and vast strides of discovery in almost every field of human endeavor have not only amazed the human family today, but has gone so far that it has ripened the human family today, because of the great advances along intellectual lines, have not gone hand in hand with advances and progression along moral lines. That is why it has caused such great fear in the hearts of people and is causing such a great degree of trouble. Computers are all about us. Some of us even carry them in our pocket. I can talk to my phone and it will understand what I am saying most of the time and carry out commands for me. This broadcast is evidence of the increase of knowledge. What an advancement. Running to and fro. Ample evidence of this today with all of our cars, trains, ships, airplanes, and rockets. Before 1874, there weren't the conveyances to do a lot of travel. Increase of knowledge has brought about the ability to produce these conveyances. In 1874, very few traveled more than 25 miles from home. Now we have a world continually in motion. At the start of the century, when America had only 8,000 cars and 144 miles of paved roads, the brake on an auto resembled that on a horse buggy, a padded stick pressed against a wheel. According to a 2007 DOT study, there were an estimated 254.4 million registered passenger vehicles in the United States, with all kinds of bells and whistles, from heated seats and mirrors to cars that parallel park themselves. In 1874, two brothers built the monoplane, a large plane made of aluminum with a wingspan of 13 meters and a weight of only 80 kilograms without the pilot. Several trials were made with the plane, and it is generally recognized that it achieved liftoff under its own power after a ski jump run, glided for a short time, and returned safely to the ground, possibly making it the first successful powered flight in history, depending on the definition, since the flight was only a short distance and a short time. The plane was displayed at the 1878 World Fair in Paris. Today there are an estimated 28,500 commercial flights per day in the U.S., according to the National Air Traffic Controllers Association. And a total number of flights per day is estimated worldwide between 85,000 to 90,000. Since the first 6,000 years of man's existence, he didn't get much past the horse and buggy as a means of transportation. We can certainly classify the time since 1874 as evidence of many running to and fro. What about Israel? The Lord told us of another interesting fact concerning the parable of a fig tree. When you see this fig tree begin to blossom, you will know that it is summertime is nigh at hand. This was one of the evidences the apostles asked for that would indicate his presence. Not his coming, but his presence. Luke chapter 13, verses 6 to 10. The nation of Israel, have we not seen evidences of the green on their twigs? That the favor that has been so long withheld from them is now returned? The cell phone was developed in Israel by Israelis working in the Israeli branch of Motorola, which has its largest development center in Israel. The latest and greatest Intel processors come from the Intel design team in Israel. The first broadband modem we had in our home was made in Israel. According to industry officials, Israel designed the airplane industry's most impenetrable flight security. With more than 3,000 high-tech companies and startups, Israel has the highest concentration of high-tech companies in the world, apart from the Silicon Valley, U.S. Medical advances for heart failure. The first ingestible camera that is pill-sized. The technology they produce is amazing. Then there is the prophecy concerning the wise and faithful servant, who would be present and on the scene when the Lord returns. By the Lord's grace, he would select such an one who would bring forth out of the Lord's storehouse things new and old, meet in due season for the household of faith. Luke chapter 12, verses 42 to 44. And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise servant whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath." An abundance of light and truth. Food for the household of faith. Where else in the annals of time have we seen such an increase in light and truth? When has there been such a time when there has been such an abundance of light and truth on the scriptures themselves? Oh, the blessedness, as Daniel says, of the one who comes to this wonderful time. All the visions will be at hand. Daniel wanted to know the meaning of the visions which he saw, but the Lord told him it wasn't for him to know the meaning of the visions, but that the visions will come into focus in complete and beautiful harmony, so that the Lord's people could see them and understand them and run patiently for the prize that was set before them. Understood at a certain time, at 1,335 days or years, see and understand and run for the prize. Another sign would be that there would be messages in the ecclesiastical heavens concerning certain truths that would be due at this time. Messages in the ecclesiastical heavens due at this time. In the scriptural symbology in the book of Revelation, we read of an angel coming down from heaven with a great light that lighteneth the whole earth, and he has a message for someone. Oh, he tells us that Babylon the Great is fallen. And to come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins or her plagues, which are about to come upon her. Has there been such a declaration in the ecclesiastical heavens within the last 140 years? Yes, it began exactly soon after 1874, in 1878. This message went forth through the instrumentality of the Lord's own choosing, this wise and faithful servant, the seventh messenger spoken of in the book of Revelation. Volumes 2 and 3 should convince us of the second presence. Ample evidences and conclusions concerning the verity of the day in which we are living. Peter says that when the Lord would return from heaven, it would signal the introduction of the times of restitution. We say that we have been and are in the times since 1874. It is not something that we look forward to. We realize that we have already been in them. Acts chapter 3 tells us unequivocally that when the Lord returns, the times of restitution begin. Conversely, if we see these times of restitution, then we know that our reigning Lord has already returned. We read again Acts chapter 3, verse 21, from the Weymouth. Heaven must receive him until those times of which God has spoken from the earliest ages through the lips of his holy prophets, the times of the reconstitution of all things. An interesting word is used here, reconstitution. This word is from Strong's number 605. I'm not good at saying that, but I have it on the screen. The root word is from Strong's number 600, which means to reconstitute, in parentheses, in health, home, or organization. Restore again. This is interesting. Three things. To reconstitute in health equals perfection of being. We read of this in Job chapter 33, verses 25 and 26. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favored unto him. And he shall see his face with joy. For he will render unto man his righteousness. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Yes, being made alive is a process as well. Physical and mental perfection. Then we look at to reconstitute in home, a perfect perfection of environment. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 1, beautiful text. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Also to reconstitute an organization, perfection of government. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. The difficulty which seems to occur to some is that the understanding of the times of restitution to them means the actual physical, personal acceptance of the blessings that Jesus purchased for the whole human family by his sacrifice on Calvary's cross. Some say, but you say the times of restitution have begun. Well, look about you. Is this restitution? The world is in greater turmoil than it has ever was. Greater wars than the world has ever experienced. Crime on the increase. Burdens upon the people more and more in the manner of taxation. Look at all the evil in the world. Is this restitution? It's almost a paradox, isn't it? For some, restitution means the physical proof of coming back from the tomb. And the world is still dying. They are looking for things still future as the times of restitution unfold. Where is the return to the days of youth? Flesh fresh as a child that Job speaks of? Why don't I see those evidences? We answer that they are looking for something that will take place as the times of restitution continue to develop and unfold. The Bible tells us that the times of restitution will be 1,000 years long. Let's not expect everything that will be a truth maybe a halfway or three-quarters way through this 1,000-year day and expect all the evidences to be bunched up here in the very beginning. That is not the way that the Scriptures describe the times of restitution. We are still in the closing phase of the gospel age, the harvest. We define the harvest as a set of events, as the pastor mentions in Volume 2, page 16. We find that many great and wonderful events center in this harvest, that in it occur the great time of trouble, the day of Jehovah, the final and complete overthrow of Antichrist, and the fall of Great Babylon, the beginning of returning favor to the Jew, the second advent of our Lord, and the establishment of his kingdom, and the resurrection and reward of the saints. Faith is still necessary until the church is completed. When the ancient worthies are in Palestine, it will be visible then. When the new covenant is established, the reanimations will begin, then by sight. To bring in a new order, the old must be removed. Matthew chapter 9, verses 16 and 17. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the old garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. They put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. Out with the old, in with the new. As part of the restitution of all things, we need to have faith to see the development of God's program. The new is being set up, even as the old order is removed. We are living in the overlapping of two great ages, the gospel and millennial age. The example of little Israel, preserved for centuries, 4,000 years, smallest of nations to this our day. 1874, restitution, return of favor to Israel in 1878. Berlin Congress of Nations, Lord Beaconsfield, advantages and favor opened up to them to return. Small beginnings, but now a nation. How does the Lord work his program? Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice, and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Their kingdom is likened to a seed in the ground, always a small beginning. Don't laugh at the small sprig. The Lord is behind it. He grows to provide the new foods. We now turn our attention to the process of the removal of curses.
Did you kill it?
Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 to 19 mentions the sweat of the face. Curse upon the human family. Curse upon the ground went together. Have we seen evidences of a return or rolling back of this arrangement? Not totally worldwide, but more than sufficient evidence to show the watchers that the program has begun. It began right back there in Palestine with Israel. It started in a swamp. Poor land. First pioneers. Shortly after 1874, began work of reconstruction, drain swamp, waterland, make it produce. As we read in Isaiah, blossom as a rose. Half of the lives of the original pilgrims that went to Israel were taken by those malarial swamps. Now if you look out over there, that area, you will see fields of olives, grapes, oranges, and grain there. Is the rolling back of curses only for Israel? Sweat of labor from brow lifted to a great degree. How they used to labor with oxen. They now sit in air-conditioned combines. Marvelous machines take away the hard toil that one had to eke out before in order to make a living and feed themselves. This is being removed. Here we see items of the Adamic curse. Woman suffrage, removal of oppression of husband, childbirth. Look at these figures. 100 out of 1,000 in 1900. 1980, 70 out of 1,000. Mothers dying in childbirth in 1900, 1 in 100. Can you imagine that? 1980, 1 in 10,000. And with the sweat of the brow, look at how much of the forest now makes our food. 79% in 1800, 2.5% in 2000. Length of the work week decreasing. Worldwide food production has increased faster than world population, while food prices have fallen 50% since 1960. The Jubilee year, every 50th year, items lost were returned back to original owners. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land. Another chance. When the year of release came, even those who sold themselves into slavery because of financial difficulties, all of this was terminated in the wonderful year of release. It was difficult for those that had received additional land, give up the land. They did not like to see the year of Jubilees come around. It was difficult to move those fences back to where they originally were, and therefore there was much confusion and much strife for a while, and it needed time to clear away the strife of words and passions of men, until eventually the will of God will again be restored in the earth. It was imperfect in the type, but a picture of when the greater Jubilee, would begin to take place and have its reality here upon the earth. It began with the times of restitution in 1874. This is the fulfillment of the Jubilee type back then. Have we seen about us any evidences of a return of that which was formerly lost? Have there been gains where there were once losses? Man became a slave in so many ways to the kings. Man instituted kingdoms. The Lord has removed these. Freedom raining down on every corner of the globe. But with freedom comes other things. Real and fancy rights become a roar throughout the earth. These are also tied to the Gentile times. Open up the blinds to bring the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Let's look at these percentages. 1750, 75% of slaves are serfs. In 2000, 8%. What a change. Percentage under democracies, 1900, 12.4%. 1999, 63.2%. Special interests abound. This is part of the Lord's great army from Joel chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Men are free to experiment with all sorts of social and political programs. Legitimate rights are confused with illegitimate rights. Women's suffrage becomes the feminist movement. Worker rights and safety become union monopolies and inflated wages. Immoralities of all kinds abound under the guise of liberty, free speech, etc., so that homosexuality, abortion, slander, character assassination, etc., become commonplace and acceptable. Moral relativism replaces concepts of good and evil and absolute concepts of right and wrong as defined by the Bible. What else do we see? Gradually, we see a leveling process. Underdogs come out on top. Look at China now. Where are the great church-state systems? Where are the kings, the 10 toes of the image? Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. In the days of the king shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. With the fig tree, Luke added an additional point that Matthew did not put forth. And all the trees. If the fig tree represents a nation, then the other trees must represent other nations. How many other trees have you seen spring forth and show greenery? The oppressed people are rising up. The oppressed people coming up and pushing back at the territorial fences that so long have enslaved them are evidences of this antitypical jubilee. Real and fancied rights alone. Fences pushed back. Surge of the underdogs, the common man taking his place in the sun. The melting of the elements is a leveling process. The overlords of the world squirm and tug, trying to hold it back. Let's look at what has happened in Egypt and Libya. Strong evidence is beyond a doubt that we have been and are in the times of restitution. But, dear friends, faith is still necessary. The longer we go on, the more the evidences mount up to increase our faith. Out with the old, in with the new. Trouble abounds, while also restitution blessings abound. We see it all around us. And sight becomes a corresponding blessing for the hour of temptation we live in. Rejoice. The Lord is present. We are in these wonderful times of restitution. When these things come to pass, lift up your heads, for your redemption draw near. This is the joy doctrine of the harvest message. Don't let anyone becloud it for us even for a minute. Let no one... Oh, excuse me, it looks like I put that in twice. The saints are still rejoicing in it today. Do not let any man or angel take this doctrine from you. Well, now we'd like to quickly consider some current events in prophecy. And we don't have time to read all the scriptures and so forth, so we'll just go over the general outline. With Israel, we have seen the regathering, and the scriptures are stated. But we have seen a change with this current U.S. administration. I now consider all nations against Israel. The days of Lot. Boy, we see that around us, don't we? All about us. Yes, unnatural use. The revealing of hidden things. Well, you just can't hide things today. Many of the rulers would like to, but they just keep coming out. The The wisdom of the wise shall perish. And scorched with fire. There's just a constant examination and scrutiny from the media, internet, authors, etc. And we see a gnawing of tongues. Results from the examination of the seed of the beast and the resulting damaging revealments. They eat their own words. And the weak say they are strong. We also see some other things. Class warfare. Between the workers and the takers. The rich and the poor. Speeds the fire of anarchy. Saw the winds of war start in 1914, closely followed by communism and socialist revolutions, which have led to all kinds of social anarchy. One definition of anarchy is the absence of commonly agreed upon principles. Mm-hmm. And boy, don't we see that today. Perilous times are described in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. Financial instability. As time goes on, all the nations are rolled together financially. Look at the problems with Greece. Trying to prop them up, loans from China, the European Union giving half the debt, forgiving half the debt to keep them alive. Most of the nations are bankrupt, including this country. It is a house of cards, just waiting for the exact time that the Lord wants to let it collapse. We look to a future as on a sea of glass. The Lord's great army has its purpose. But we are to have no part in their fight. Everything is under our Lord's control or allowed for a purpose. He knows the end from the beginning. What is our role and responsibility during these times? Holding up the banner of present truth as presented by the seventh messenger, polishing it with the confirming light of the passage of time, and declaring it with confidence to the brethren and the household of faith is our greatest responsibility. We add to that making our calling election sure. Global warming. A big fuss is being made about man-made global warming. I was taught that CO2 was good for all growing things when I was in school. Now this trace gas of less than 0.04% of the atmosphere is at the forefront. Do not be concerned with global warming. I love these quotes from the pastor. I have to read them. The climate will probably gradually undergo a change also, such as will not only be favorable to man's comfort, but favorable as well to the usefulness of large tracts of country at present almost or quite uninhabitable. How this will be accomplished, we cannot say at present. But of one thing we are satisfied, he who is at the helm and has thus far ordered matters is abundantly able to furnish mankind a fit and perfect home, an Eden, when the curse is removed. Of another thing we are satisfied, namely, that what the scientists term the laws of nature are by no means as regular and fixed as they seem at one time to imagine. As an illustration of this, we note the fact that the telegraph brought word of severe cold and thousands of cattle destroyed in Texas, while we at the north were having quite moderate weather. And we have known times in summer when the thermometer rose higher in Pittsburgh than in New Orleans. These things, in addition to our trust in the omnipotent, set it rest fears in regard to climate. Man is arrogant in thinking he changes the climate. God, who alone knows the outcome as well as the process of his plans, reveals the fact that the millennial blessings will not come in peaceably, as they might do if love controlled mankind. Men believing that they are bringing about the change of dispensation, rejecting God at the helm of affairs, and seeking to gain by force the blessings longed for, must learn their mistake before they are ushered into the blessings. To bless their methods would be to confirm them in their error and to make them arrogant and proud. To enter the millennium thus would be to their disadvantage. Accordingly, their own efforts are, under God's supervision, teach men humility and their own utter inability to establish justice and peace in the world. Accordingly, from the scriptures, we read the future thus. As inventions increase, men will become more and more vain and boastful as to what human power and ingenuity can accomplish. They will more and more lose sight of God and His provisions and supervisions. Nature will become the god of science and of the masses, and to nature's laws, not God's, they will bow. But nature will deceive them. Most unusual and unnatural changes will occur. The laws of nature which they thought fixed will be found unsettled and unreliable. For God, knowing the necessities of the time, has arranged that great convulsions and changes of nature's operations, necessary for the betterment of the earth for man in the time of blessing about to begin, shall occur at this time, to humble the pride of men and to teach them their dependence upon nature's God. Unquote. The environmental movement has made recycling commonplace. As with all things, it has been partially misused by imperfect humanity. Electric and hybrid cars that use heavy, precious metals with limited availability are being used to replace abundant fossil fuel supplies using electricity, mostly produced from coal. We see advances in solar power, wind power, wonderful advancements. This broadcast alone is strong evidence of restitution. Advancements abound. Restitution blessings abound. That is what is important, not man's misuse or political agendas. All the advancements are evidences of our returned Lord and King. How they should increase our faith. Amidst all the turmoil and trouble is a still small voice. Now I'd like to read a poem. And with all our experiences, God is always at the helm. We need to trust in Him. He commands the seas. Peace, be still. Actually, this is a quote first, and then a poem. When once we recognize the fact that God is at the helm, directing the affairs of the new creation in every particular, not only in their call, but also in the difficulties, trials, and persecutions necessary to their polishing and preparation for the kingdom. It lessens our appreciation on the part played in this divine plan by human institutions, which our Lord never organized nor authorized to be organized, or which, in harmony with the Lord's suggestions, we know to be carnal, fleshly, contrary to the Spirit. Our Father's at the helm. The boisterous waves with awful roar a little boat assailed, and pallid spheres distracting power over all on board prevailed. Save one, the captain's darling child, who steadfast viewed the storm, and cheerful with composure smiled at danger's threatening form. Do you feel safe? A seaman cried, while terrors overwhelmed. Why should I fear? The boy replied. My Father's at the helm. When our worldly all is reft, our earthly helper's gone, we still have one true anchor left. God helps, and He alone. He to our prayers will bend an ear. He gives our pains relief. He turns to smiles each trembling tear, to joy each torturing grief. Turn to Him mid sorrows wild, when want and woes overwhelm. Remember, like the fearless child, our Father's at the helm. To close, we'd like to read from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, from the Weyman. He made known to us the secret of His will, and this is in harmony with God's merciful purpose, for the government of the world when the times are ripe for it. The purpose which He has cherished in His own mind of restoring the whole creation to find its one head in Christ. Yes, things in heaven and things on earth to find their one head in Him.